Open your Bibles, please, this evening to the book of 1 John, chapter number 4. The book of 1 John, chapter number 4. As you are turning in the Word of God, it is my joy and my privilege to be here again this evening. It's always a joy to come back to my home church. And I appreciate you being here tonight. And I appreciate the songs, enjoyed that in the music. And I think about this. The Lord willing, tonight I'm preaching on the love of God. I asked Sister Susan to play that song. When I think about the love of God, when I got saved at the Clearview Baptist Church in Meldon, North Carolina, Brother Harry Grogan was my pastor. He's been with the Lord many years now. But I could see him on Sunday morning, and we was running about 300 to 400 in that church at that time, and he always wore that cross pin set. And he'd sing the love of God without music. And the power of God would fall. People, I've seen people run the aisles and shout and praise God. Wouldn't you like to see that again? If you think about the love of God, every river empties into the ocean. To write God's love above would drain all the ocean dry. There's no way we can explain the love of God. I was thinking, driving to the meeting this evening, what could I preach in Currytown Baptist Church? I go in a lot of churches every year. A lot of pastors not indoctrinated in the Scripture. But I'm glad that we have a pastor here that's indoctrinated in the Word of God. And he gives you the Word of God when he gets on this platform. And I appreciate that. And I said, Lord, I appreciate Brother Mike, my pastor. And when I come to hear him, he encourages me. I remember back a few months ago, I came on a Wednesday night, and he preached a message. Now, I think I was at my lowest place in life. And that message, Pastor, God help me and give me strength. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And I preached most of it to the church. Because I feel like if the church gets revived, sinners will get saved. Amen. Sinners will get saved. Now, if you could and would please, would you stand with me this evening in honor to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time. Here in the book of 1 John, chapter number 4, I begin at verses number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, notice, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. Now, notice, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. My Father, I come before you on this Tuesday evening, and I give you thanks again for salvation. And, Lord, we thank you again, as David did. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for this awaiting congregation. These people have come. Some have driven far to be in the meeting, and I pray for them. And Lord, I pray you'll speak through me to help this awaiting congregation this evening. Would you bless our preachers and pastors and missionaries and evangelists? I pray for them. Pray for our pastor, Brother Mike, and his dear family. God bless this church now and save souls. Encourage your children. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in honor to the reading of the Word of God. So I'm preaching tonight simply on this thought, the love of God. Now, there is nothing like the love of God. It is the most overwhelming thing I have ever encountered in my life. It is the greatest gift God ever gave us. The reason I can say that is this, because he loved us. He was moved to do everything else that he did for us at Calvary. So we're preaching on John's first epistle. So let me mention that John's epistle has a fourfold purpose here. He said that our joy in him might be full. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 verses 4, and these things write unto you that your joy may be full. I wonder what's happened to the joy of God's people today. And then he says, number two, that we might not sin against him. In 1 John chapter number 1 verses 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Then I want you to notice here that we might not sin against him. It's terrible to sin against your brother or sister, the Lord, but sin against God is another thing. And there are people, they play church on Sunday, they play church on Sunday night, but during the week, you never know that they are a Christian. That's sad, isn't it? I hate to say those things. Then again, the Bible said that we might know that we have eternal life. Eternal life. The other day, I was running through the TV channels, and I didn't stay there long, and this man that was a preacher, he said, there's no such thing as a rapture. But that was good enough for me. I just passed on to another channel. I'm glad I'm looking for the coming of the Lord, aren't you? Then again, the Bible said, notice now, that we might not sin against him, that we might know that we have eternal life. I'm not worthy of it, and neither are you. In the book of 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might, listen, you might know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That we ourselves might love others the way that God loves us. I wish I could say today that I love people like God loves us. There's some people in this world will not allow you to love them. Are you still with me now? But thank God for those who are willing to love God and love each other. I think about these things here in the 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. Then there is a fifth unspoken reason, that is to share the great love of Almighty God. One of the greatest things that God has given you and I as a Christian is to share Christ around the world. When I pastored Spruce Street Baptist Church, my heart and desire was to have missionaries around the world, that they would listen, that our church would be represented somewhere in the world every day. I'm glad that God led me here to Kerrtown, because you believe in missions. You believe in getting the gospel out. You believe in the love of God. There are places we can't go. There's things we can't do, but God can, you see. Then also, we find John is writing to put them into their place. And as he does, he tells us, the rest of us, about a great God with a great love for sinners. The Bible says in 1 John, oh, it's a great epistle of love. Love is mentioned 46 times in 135 verses. It's the greatest love of our great God that I want to preach about this evening and share the message found here in the book of 1 John. Number one, how God's love is described. How do you describe when you have met this girl or this boy and you fall in love with them? You try to explain that, but you can't do that because you don't have the word to do that. And again, when I think about this, how can I describe the love of God? Let me call our attention first. It is unspeakable. I can't understand it or why, but I know I have experienced it, and it worked a miracle in my heart and caused me to love him. The greatest miracle is the day that God saved your soul and washed you in his love. The Bible said, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Unspeakable. I've been trying to find these words to tell God how much I love him. When I think about the love of God, I remember when I was growing up, I thought, there's no love like mom and daddy. There's no love like my brother and my sister. But as I grew up and I met a girl by the name of Polly Mae, and I fell in love with her at first sight, I thought, there's no love like that. And I went home and told my mama, I said, I found someone I love more than I do you. My mama was startled. She didn't know what to say. And I said, I'm going to get married. And she fainted. I was only 17 years old. And I said, why are you married? I said, because I love her. I remember Mr. Gilbert May, Polly's dad, when I asked for a hand in marriage, he said to me, do you love my daughter? He only had 13 children now. He said, do you love my daughter? I said, I think I do, sir. And I thought he'd be happy because all those youngins in the house, he's getting rid of one of them. But he said, do you love her? I said, I think I do. And then he said to me, are you her friend? I never forgotten this. Came from a wise man. I said, sir, I want to be. This is what he said to me as a young boy, a young teenager. Love will fade, but friendship will never fade. How true that is. Aren't you glad that God loves us so much that he's the dearest friend that we have ever known, ladies and gentlemen? Again, we look here in the Bible. Again, it is unending. This love is not for a little while. I see people all the time, and they fall in love and out of love. But one thing about it, God's love is forever. It is unending. And God's got children that love him and obey him and walk with him, but yet he has some disobedient to him. Right. The Bible said now, it's unending. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's a difference between infatuation and love. God's love is eternal. How can we explain eternal? I mentioned to our pastor in the foyer out there a while ago, and Miss Paula and I have been married 71 years. Coming February, it'll be 72 years. And so often, and I've been home because of illness more than I've been in all the years of our marriage. So she says to me, she said, do you think we'll ever be separated? I said, one day, unless the rapture takes place, while we're living, death will separate us. But I said, remember that, listen, we are never separated from the love of God. God's love is always there. Then it is unselfish. It asks for nothing in return. However, it leads man to repent and to turn to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Every time I read this verse right here, why would God love somebody like Norfried? Why would God love that prostitute? Why would God love that dope or that drunkard? But he does. But aren't you glad that God will go in and save that old sinner, wrap that sinner up in his love, and give him life eternal forever? I'm going to say hallelujah. What a love. I remember back last year, right before I got sick, I was outside of Harrisburg, Virginia, in a meeting. And there's a man that owns this dairy. He only milks 2,800 cows 3 times a day. And he's a millionaire, but he's a soul winner. He said to me, every day, I try to witness and reach one soul for God. I remember on this particular night, he brought a pew full of lost people to the church. And there was a fellow sitting beside him, and he had long, stringy hair. He had a body odor. I'm on the platform, but I could smell his body odor. I preached that night, and then the next night he came back, and he said, as he came to the altar, I want to be born again. I want to experience this great love you're talking about. And God saved him. And the next night, I didn't know him. He'd cut his hair, took a bath. You don't have to tell people to do that. No, because when God changes the heart, He changes everything about you, ladies and gentlemen. This is God's love. Then again, the Bible said this. It's unmerited. You cannot earn it or deserve. God loves because He desired a people to love Him. God desired a people to love Him, ladies and gentlemen. You remember back in the garden when God said to Adam and Eve, everything in here is yours but one tree to be desired. Now think about this. Not a tree that wasn't. Devil always paints a beautiful picture. He will. And he said, listen, everything is yours, but there's one tree you cannot partake of. If you do, you'll surely die. Guess what? The devil came by and said, you won't die. But they took of the fruit. And you know what? They broke that relationship between them and God. Well, from that time on, God desired a people. And that's why we look back in the Bible. I remember Abraham and Isaac when he took his only son and put him on the altar to sacrifice him. And what Abraham didn't know, on the other side of that mountain, there was a lamb. And that lamb was Jesus. Thank God for His love. When I think of these things, we find here in Jesus in Jerusalem, in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and you would not. I read one time when the chicken house, do you know what a chicken house is? They got burned down, but there was a hen in there. She had the little hens, little bitties, and that building burned down. And when they was moving all the rubbish, they found this chicken dead, but under her wings was the little ones safe and alive. Aren't you glad you're under the wing of God's love tonight? Then I read this story that this woman is out on the prairie. And she looked and there was a fire. No way to cross that desert. So she cleaned off the best she could a little place there. And by her hands, with blood bleeding from them, and she put her baby in that hole and covered it up. They found the mother burned to death, but the baby alive. Let me tell you, I was in that desert one time, and God's love came to where I was. Talking about the love of God. Then again, God loves us because He chose to love us. Contrast the way that people love you. God chose to love me. God chose to love you. Also, it is unconditional. Now, notice, it's not based on what we can or cannot produce. It's a product of the heart of God. Man can never reach a place when he will not be loved by God. God loved us first. He loved us anyway. He loves us eternally, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, you've heard this so many times preached. You read it yourselves. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I want you to notice, we call attention to number 2 and verses 10, how God's love is demonstrated. Now, God's love can never be fully understood, but it can be seen. It's seen best at Calvary. We're talking about, I remember back, many years ago now. And I just gotten saved and I didn't know anything about the Bible and I didn't know nothing. I had memorized one verse, and that was John 5:24. I'd only remember that I had memorized that verse, but God called me to preach. And I said, now, I like the Bible, but I said, Lord, there's no pictures in it. I like to read a book with pictures in it. And then I was reading about Calvary. Then I understood God painted in my heart the picture of Calvary like I have never had before. That's many years ago. I never forgot that, folks. Never forgot that. So we think about God's love being demonstrated. So we find he stood in the gap. The Lord Jesus placed himself squarely between guilty sinners and the wrath of Almighty God. When we preach and talk about God's love, it was not the nails that held Jesus on that cross that day. It was his love for you, his love for me that kept him on that cross that day. When I think about he stood as a gate, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. When we look at Calvary, what do we see? He went there and took that beating, and he died under the wrath of God. And on that cross, he tasted death for every man, not just one or two, but God, his Son, tasted death for every man. When I look in the Bible, says 2 Corinthians 5, 2, for he hath made him, which is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Then it saved us from hell. You know, hell was never made for you and I. It was made for the devil and the fallen angels. But people who have rejected this love of God, who have rejected God, hell is the largest place to meet thee at that coming. The Bible tells us now. He says here in 1 Peter 1, 18, 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. Then in Revelation chapter 1, verses number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Notice now, in his own blood. In his own blood. I remember going up on the farm, and you had to walk about a mile to gather water from the spring to the bottom of the mountain. That's a long time ago. And my mother, when it rained, she had a barrel she caught water in to bathe us children. Since my sister was the oldest, she got the first bath in that water. Since I was next, I got the second bath. And then my other brother got that. And then the last one, he got washed in dirty water. Now, I'm glad I have not been sprinkled with the blood. Are you with me? But we've been washed. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's God's love. He washed us in his own blood. You can never deny that. Hebrews 9, 22, and almost all things about the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In Ephesians, we find chapter 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1, 14, notice what he said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now Hebrews 9, 12, 14, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered and washed into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and notice it, in the ashes of heaven sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh. How much more? Oh, listen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who is through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve what? The living God. God's not dead. There's a lot of people thinks he's still on the cross. There's a lot of people still thinks he's in the tomb. But aren't you glad the word of God tells us they thought they had him killed and took him off the cross and they put him in that tomb and sealed it all. But in his own power, he resurrected himself. And then he went down the lowest part. He conquered death, hell, and the grave and hung the keys of the devil on his right side. He's a conqueror. He loves us. He did all that for you and I. This is the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. This is God's love. How God's love is described. How God's love is demonstrated. How God's love is displayed. Besides Calvary, the greatest canvas for the love of God is the lives of those who are redeemed by grace. If we are saved, possess the love of God, it will be visible in our life. If you love God, nobody, you don't have to tell anybody that you're saved, because if you got the love of God in your heart, it'll be working itself out. It'll be visible. You know that? When I think about this, I know throughout the Bible there have been men who demonstrated God's love. I think about Joseph, all forgiving love. He didn't have to, but he did. And then I think about redeeming love in the book of Hosea 3. And then I think about the compassionate love, Barnabas. And then, let me say, men are limited in their ability to love, but God possesses every shade of love imaginable. When I look at this, I want to give you a few things here very briefly here. I'm talking about God's love. I remember very well when our oldest son, Jerry, was born. You know, back in those days, and the mother went to the hospital, and the daddy didn't get to see the child until she was discharged to come home because they didn't want that baby to get sick. But I remember when I took Jerry for the first time in my hands, I looked down in his face, and I said, "This is my son. This is the blood. My blood's running through his vein. This is my son." Now, how can I ever describe it? I can never describe that, and neither can you. Then I realized God's children is a heritage. Now, let me share with you. If you have the love of God, we find the love of the Savior. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, and mind? The Bible said in 3 John 13:14, he said, "I had many things to write unto you, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face." That's what John is saying. In my time of preaching, folk, I have signed and put my name on hundreds of Bibles in my time. In the 65 years I've been preaching for God, I have autographed many of them, but nothing but the old King James. I would not put my name on one of these paraphrases. Never, never. So only the King James. If you ever get a letter from me, it's going to close. Listen, John 1:12. Every support check that we get, when I put my name on the back of that check, I put John 1:12. You said, "Well, you don't pay no attention to that." Well, go in the bank now. I remember there's been so many changes from Lexington State Bank to Bridge and then now to First National. And I go in there. I've never seen this person. But then when that check is turned over and they say to me, "You must be a Christian." There's more than one way to witness for God. Let me say this very briefly. Very briefly. Brother Eden, I remember him when he was just a little boy. That's a long time ago. I can't believe he's retired now. But your mama, Sister Alice, she loved that song. I was in the hospital the day that the doctor came in and said to Sister Alice, he said, "You got cancer, and I tried to get it all, but I couldn't get it all." She said, "Would you let me go home?" If that's what you want, you can. And I remember she'd come to the church, and she wanted that song sung one day at a time. You remember all that? I remember that. But then she said to me one day, I was visiting in a home. She said, I can't get out and witness, but I send out letters from the phone book to witness for God. You never forget those things. When you love God on your deathbed, what do you want to do? Is get the love of God to people that don't know anything about God. There was a doctor a few months ago, and is working, one of my doctors in the hospital, I don't know the name, and she said, well, your blood work is good. Everything's looking good. I think you'd go home in a few days. I said, thank God. She said, who is that? I said, you don't know about God? She said, I've never heard about him. I said, can I tell you? She said, sure. Isn't that wonderful? I was able to tell that doctor that Jesus loved her and would save her. There's so many people in this world that have never heard about God. I remember back years ago at Lexington State Bank, and Mr. Reese, David Reese, he was a man that lost some money to build our first money from his bank. And we made the loan. Myself and the trustees had gone to the bank, and we got the money. But I didn't witness to him. So the next day, I called the bank and wanted to speak to Mr. Reese. He was the president of Lexington State Bank. And I went up there, and I went in his office. He said, do you need some more money? I said, no, sir. I was in you yesterday, and I did not witness to you about God and his love. I said, can, sir, I take a moment of your time to tell you about the love of God? He said, well, you sure can. He said, I'm a member of the First Baptist Church, but no one's ever asked me if I saved. He said, I joined the church on my name. God help us, folks. People are dying and going to hell because they're a member of a Baptist church. That's not what it's all about. But God's love, oh, love for the Savior. Then also the Bible said here in Revelation, talking about Ephesus, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Don't you think today a lot of our churches at one time, soul winning churches, on fire for God, shouted for God. Now they don't do that anymore. And God said this, I don't want the rocks to cry out. I want to say hallelujah when it's the appropriate time. I want to say praise to God. And I'm not ashamed to stand up and praise God. God has removed in many churches. Every church that has a steeple on it is not a Bible-believing church. Now you know that. I know that. Then the Bible said love for the scripture. Oh, how much do you love the Bible? Oh, when I think about this, ladies and gentlemen, David said in Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then Psalms 119, verse 162, rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Rejoice at thy love. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no other God but one. And God has never changed. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Brother Fry, since you've been in evangelism, have you changed your stand? I said, what stand? Let me tell you something. I started a long time ago, and I'm still driving the same team of mules and still riding the same wagon. The old King James Bible. Why would you change when you got the truth? What's there to go to? When God has given us the best, he has given us the best. Rejoice in the word of God. And then again, the Bible said, love for the sanctuary. That, not that we know on our building. Oh, no. We honor what happens in that building. Ladies and gentlemen, when we ride down the road, we see churches, many of them with steeples. But I wonder how many. Sometime I go in service, they don't start till 10:30. Sometime I go at 11. But I want to get there. I go by that schedule. And I see very few cars. I was in Lynchburg the other day. driving up 29 on Sunday morning, and we was going to start at 10:30. And I'm riding along, and there were churches, two or three cars. At one time, they run hundreds. There was more than one church, more than one church. Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest place on this earth is the house of God. We don't honor this building, although God, we thank God for this building, but we don't honor this building. We honor the one who worship in this building. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I remember when the virus was so bad, and I drive my car, sat there in the parking lot, and I listened to the songs and the preaching. But you know, in my heart, I wanted to be in the sanctuary. I wanted to be where God's people gather. God honors it of God's people coming together and gathering together, ladies and gentlemen. But I shall never forget that day when I could drive to the parking lot and walk in the sanctuary here. It's like I had just had a rebirth. I'd found my oasis again. You see, David said in Psalms 122, and one, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then again, love for the sinners. We need to pray and tell others and listen and live a clean life before God. Jesus had a heart for sinners. I think about Nicodemus in the Bible when Jesus witnessed to him. I think about the blind man when Jesus just spit on the ground and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he received his eyesight. They said, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. I don't know. I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. They ask his parents, what about, is this your son? This is our son. But we don't know. We never met that man. But then one day they met him. Aren't you glad for the day, hallelujah, that you came face to face with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? He tells us now, God's love is more than just being loved. It's only in our lives so that the Lord can love through us, so that he can reach a world for himself. Folk, I'm getting ready to conclude, but I think of the years that God's given me to preach. I think of those times that the Lord, just an old plowboy preacher. But one day, I read in the Bible where God said, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Burn the bridges behind you. And never thought that one day that God would save an old sinner like me and call me to handle the word of God and preach for him. Travel in third world countries. Preach meetings in hundreds and thousands of churches in his 65 years. But God took nothing. Nothing. I'm nothing. Only by the grace of God. That's all we are. But it's been my joy to share this gospel around the world by radio. Oh, I have to tell you this one. I used to have a radio broadcast in the West Indies, and I received a letter back in those days, Pastor. People wrote to you if you was on the radio. Today they don't do that. They send you email, but you can't put money on an email. But let me go on. But this man captained the ship, he wrote me a letter. He said, I heard you on the radio at St. Kitts, West Indies. And he said, I was lost, but during the time of your message, I bowed my soul before God and got saved. I'll never meet that man, but one day I will, because of God's love. I want you to notice, we ought to praise the Lord for his overwhelming love. We can shout and we can run. We can do flips backwards and everything. Letting him live through us is the evidence that we're looking for. Right. I used to think when you went to church, it's got to be And I'm not against raising your hands and praising God. And I've seen a lot of people running down the aisles too. I'm not against that. I'm just not able to do it no more. But anyway, I'm a candidate for it. You never know what God will do for you. But it's not how loud somebody can holler amen or shout, but it's what you got right here. What you got right here. Let's come before him and thank him for loving people like us. Let's prove our love for God by loving him and by doing his will. Notice now. Let's love others exactly as we have been loved by God. We often say this. My wife and I, we traveled up the road, and she said, I know somebody at the church is praying for us. When I was so sick, my daughter said, Daddy, at one time over 1,000 people praying for you. Isn't God good? Yes, I tell you, if people love God, we love each other, we pray for each other. That is our strength. I ask you in closing tonight, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Have you experienced this great love of God? Now let us stand, please. I'm going to pray, and the pastor's going to come. We're going to have an invitation. Father, thank you for time together around the Word of God. Now I pray that your Word has found its place in the heart of the hearer. Lord, bring those to the altar that needs to come tonight, and we'll certainly thank you for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.